Evening. This is Terry from Colorado, K-I-0-R-E. This is the NLA Hams Net. This net is held every week at about 8 p.m. Eastern Time. On this net, we talk about things that have to do with NLA and things that have to do with being a ham. This net is open. I do a lot of talking. I don't have to. I'd much rather hear your input, but we're going through the ARRL Ham Radio License Manual, 3rd edition. Hello, did I lose everything?
What's your page number?
My page number? 6-7.
Five something, yeah, on 6-7, great, thanks. Got
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm at the bottom. Logging and confirming contacts.
Okay.
Confirmed contacts, that's where I'm going to start. Ham's no longer required by the rules to keep a logbook. You used to have to keep a logbook of your stuff, but gosh, that's over 20 years ago or 10 years ago. Because that went away right before I got my license. I never kept a logbook. So they got radio logging software, and the idea was is that you could record in your logbook, and if somebody sent you a card, postcard, we'll talk about that in a second, you could confirm that you had a contact with that call sign at that time and date with that mode and frequency. So it talks about that, and it has some samples of cards on page 6-8. And they come from all over the world because you never know who's going to be listening to you. When keeping a log, record the time, date of the contact, the band, and the mode, and the call sign of the station you contacted. These are the minimum needed to confirm the contact later. You might want to record the exact frequency, your power level, signal reports exchanged, and information about the other stations, such as location and operator name. Some logging software can connect directly to your radio and record much of that information for you, which is nice. So just know that there's places you can send these cards. You make up the card however you want it to look, and you can see four examples right there. And then you record. You have a space down there at the bottom, like on WB2JKJ, where you put the date and the time and the frequency and the mode that you used. And it's a lot of fun. These are called QSL cards. That's what I was trying to remember. Okay. QSL means I made a contact. This is how it is. So be ready to do that. It's good. It's a lot of fun. And I've seen hams that have an entire wallpaper of these contact cards pinned up. Pretty slick. The next thing is a little more important. It's called band plans. And anybody is welcome to jump in, say something. I will stop talking and ask for whatever input you want to give. And I would readily give the floor to anybody because we all want to learn. That's what I'm here for. Definitions, finding band plans. The easiest place to find the band plans for the U.S. amateurs is via the ARRL's homepage or on the Ham Radio License Manual website. You should take a few minutes to browse the band plans, particularly those for the 2-meter band plans. And as a sample, they have table 6.4. And all it does is specify a range of frequencies on the left. Like the first one is 144.0. That's the bottom of the ham band for VHF. So 144.00 to 144.05. Well, that doesn't sound like much, but it's 500 kilohertz worth of bandwidth. You can stick a lot of stuff in there. When you think about it, it's 550 megahertz of bandwidth. Well, You can stick a TV station in 5 to 7 megahertz, the old TV signal, NTSC. I don't know what the digital is. But like 144.00 to 144.05 is EME CW. So what's EME? I've told you on an earlier broadcast, on an earlier conference call. Any ideas, Jan? As he feverishly looks it up. It stands for Earth, Moon, Earth.
Well, I see. Okay, bounce off the moon.
Yeah, you bounce it off the moon, and it takes a very high-gain antenna, a powerful transmitter, because the moon wasn't put up there to bounce signals off of, but it will do it. And the signal you back is very weak, so you need something that puts out as much power as you can, hits the moon, and then comes back. And, you know, I haven't seen anything, but I wonder if there isn't a bunch of EME people along the trek so that they can try and make a contact during the eclipse coming up on Monday. Okay, and then 144.05 to 144.10 is general CW and weak signals. And then 144.10 to 144.20 is EME and weak signal single sideband. Well, the EME down there at the bottom, 144.0 to 144.05, is CW, continuous wave, Morse code. These others are for talking and weak signals. Then you get up to general single sideband operation. 144.2 is the general single sideband calling frequency. You have some that are Oscar subband, and one of those is 145.80 to 146.00. Oscar is your satellites, and lots of times they will go up on a UHF band and come down on a VHF band because VHF doesn't require as much power. You're not running it at a higher frequency. And then there's also places for repeater inputs, et cetera. And it talks about a DX window. Oh, what I want to call your attention to is, 144.275 to 144.300. Those are for propagation beacons. And what they do is there's a beacon sitting out there, and it just gives its call sign and what it is and where it is, and then stops for 5-10 seconds, and then does it again. And you can tune to these different beacons, and by doing so, you can get an idea of which direction is working for you to make a long-distance contact. And so that's what they use it for. There's some digital modes in the beacons, weak signal. Areas of bands are designated for making contacts with distant stations or using difficult propagation paths compared to strong signals of local FM repeaters. That's what a weak signal is. And they use some modes. Modes that work better are CWS single sideband and some digital modes. Every amateur band from 50 megahertz on up has some portion available to CW and single sideband operation. Satellite uplinks and downlinks, these are segments of the bands where signals are sent to uplink and receive from downlink satellites. Simplex transmitting, the call for FM in the VHF band, the call frequency is 146.52, national simplex calling frequency. That's one you ought to burn the back of your brain, because if you're driving down the road and you can see somebody talking but you don't know what they're on, you can jump over to 14652 and give them a call. And lots of times they'll respond on that frequency. And control links. One of the rules in the FCC is that you cannot, if you have a remote repeater, remote transmitter, you have to have an out-of-band control link to it. and so there's a place for control links, and I didn't look at what it was. You can look it up. I leave it to the newbie ham to go look that up. Calling frequencies and beacons it talks about, I went over it just a little bit. Calling frequency allows stations to find each other quickly. Continuously monitoring calling frequency and making an occasional CQ is useful for detecting long-distance propagation. And that's really what it takes. It takes two people to make an established contact on a radio. Somebody has to be talking, somebody has to be listening, and they have to be near the same frequency or dead on the same frequency for it to work. So, listen. Why band plans are needed? These voluntary conventions simply make it easier. And they go on to talk about it's just a way to allow everyone to use the band without stepping all over each other and getting upset. So if you stay in a band plan and you have interference from somebody else who's not in the band plan, guess who they appreciate first? It will be the person staying in the band plan. So that's good. Who makes band plans? Oddly enough, the ARRL does not. It's the hams that actually use it. They get together and they decide upon a band plan. They look at who's using what and how, and then kind of work their way into what's called a band plan. And there's a lot of frequency over that whole band. And if you start scanning up and down, there's a lot of stuff in there. And I said megahertz a while ago, and I meant kilohertz. 50 kilohertz is the bandwidth there on that one. So, rules about band plans. I mentioned earlier band plans are considered good practice by the FCC, and so it expects hams to abide by them. Also, if you think about it, if you want to use a weak signal set of frequencies, you're more likely to make the contact that you want if it's a weak contact. So using a band plan kind of deconflicts a lot of people using the frequencies as soon as you do it. The only time it really comes into question is when, okay, that's percent. I said that already. Band plans themselves cannot guarantee that no interference exists. For example, on 40 meters, the International RTTY, that's they call it RATI, and it's a remote teletyperator, calling frequency is the same as that of the QRP-CW operators. Well, powerful RATI and weak Morse code signals don't coexist very well. Luckily, it is relatively uncommon for interference between the two groups to last very long. Hams, being much more flexible or frequency agile than the other radio services, just retune a bit and carry on. And I've seen this happen. Sometimes you'll see people that it gets to be a pileup and everybody is right on that frequency. They want to talk to that place in South America. What they'll do sometimes is anybody who wants to talk, reply 10 kilohertz up. And so they move the reply frequency up 10 kilohertz. And they put the calling frequency up there. And a lot of hams don't get it. Some do. But the ones that move up the 10 kilohertz make the contact. The ones who don't never will. And then we get the contacts. I'm at page 6-11, section 6.3. Before you transmit, make sure you're allowed to use that frequency. As a technician, you have full amateur privilege on 50 hertz and up, which is a lot of bandwidth. But there are several mode restrictions in that band. On HF, your privileges are restricted as shown in the chapter and licensing regulations, and that's mainly down on the 30 megahertz band or thereabouts. Repeater contacts. Repeaters are frequently like social clubs. They have a regular clientele, and usually, and I've talked about this before, there are manners everyone uses to share the facility. To join the club, you should learn by listening and abide by those manners. Here are some repeater manners shared by all repeater users. Listen so that you are aware of someone using the repeater. In other words, don't tune to the four-ended mountain repeater and then start talking immediately. Listen. There may be somebody is just called and they're waiting on somebody to call back, and that person maybe they're in the middle of a conversation. So listen first before you jump in. Keep transmissions short. There's a lot of people. The repeaters are finite, though the frequencies, you can argue, are infinite between any two frequencies that you choose. They're actually not, but the repeaters definitely are finite. There's only a set number. So keep your transmission short so that other people can start talking. Identify your station legally. Identifying at the beginning of your contact is also a good idea. Now, once you get to talking with them, everybody knows who it is. Oh, that's KI0RE, Terry. Don't listen to her. She's not worth that much. And so they get used to your voice. So you don't have to identify yourself at the first, but you do have to identify yourself every 10 minutes and at the end, every 10 and at the end. Pause briefly between transmissions to listen for another station trying to break in. So say I'm talking to Jan here, and I say, well, what do you think, Jan? Does Jan key up right away? No, he gives it 3, 4, 5 seconds, then he keys up. That gives a chance for somebody out there that wants to cut in and give an answer to do so. And that's very valuable. I'm sorry, what was that?
I'm sorry, I thought I was muted.
Okay. That's very good, especially when somebody wants to break into your conversation because they have emergency traffic or because they need something from you or whatever the situation could be. So be listening. Pause between your transmissions. Remember, too, that using a repeater does not mean you are no longer responsible for operating legally. As a control operator of the originating station, you're responsible, not the repeater owner, if your transmissions violate FCC rules. Because repeaters usually have a strong signal on known frequency, it's not necessary to make a long transmission to attract listeners tuning by. The easiest way is to just give your call sign. So what I do a lot of times is I just key up, and I say, KI, after I've listened for a few seconds, at least a minute, 30 seconds at least, I key up on this repeater and I say, KI0RE listening. If anybody wants to give me, I just gave them my call sign. And they might say, oh, I didn't catch your call, but hey, I'd like to talk. And then we go on about it and I give my call sign again. So just, that's all you need. KI0RE, listening, your call sign, and the word listening. That's all you need. You don't even need listening on a repeater that's very active. You just give it, and maybe somebody says, oh, yeah, I want to talk to you, Terry. Then it talks about adding a few words. It's monitoring or listening, standing by for a call. If you want to respond to a station asking for a call or want to contact a station whose call sign you already know, take advantage of the repeater's strong signal and keep it short. Just say the other station's call sign followed by yours. So what is it? I can't remember your call sign. HVA4HVA, but I can't remember. K4HVA? What is it, Jan?
It's KC3HVA.
KC3HVA. So I
yes.
Say... KI0RE listening. Jan hears it, and he says, The baby says, my call sign, KI0RE, and he says, this is K3HVA. And all of a sudden, I come back and I say, K3HVA, this is KI0RE. Hey, how you doing today, Jan? And we start talking. In code, it's use the word DE, which means from. So I would key out KI0RE. Let's see. I would call my call sign. So let's say K3HVA. DE, KI0RE, and that would give whoever's listening the idea that I'm trying to call K3HVA and talk to Jan. In the real world or in the world where your voice, you're using a voice mode, you can just say, K3HVA, this is KI0RE, and there you go. You can say this is or from or whatever you need. Then there's some along with the Q system. We talked about that last time, the RST system. In FM, since you have the capture, sometimes it's more appropriate to give these types of things. And the first one is full quieting. Your signal is strong enough that no receiver noise is heard. White noise is not as strong. It's full quieting. Some noise is present. Scratchy, weaker still. Noise is almost as strong as your voice. Mobile flutter or picket fencing. Rapid fading due to moving through an area of multipath propagation. Oh, what's multipath propagation? These radio waves bounce off of anything that's conductive. And even some things that aren't very conductive, like rocks. And depending upon certain places, you'll find them, and it's like you're driving. If you've ever driven by a picket fence and look through the fence as you go by, you see the view through the fence, and then you're blocked, and you see the view. Well, you hear the signal, and then it's blocked. You can't hear a thing, and then you hear the signal again because different multipaths are lining up, and it really makes for a mess. It's hard to follow it sometimes. Dropping out, mostly audible, but frequent periods of no signal. So you hear somebody and you can hear them talking, and all of a sudden, and then they're back again, and you don't have any problem. Well, what did they say while you couldn't hear them? That's dropping out. Broken or breaking up, short periods of audibility, but mostly unreadable. And that's when you hear, then you do something else, and you're not getting but two words out of every five. These give a good description of what signal sounds on the repeater's output. Keep your handheld radio's antenna vertical if your signal is less than full quieting strength. I don't know how many hams I've seen that hold the radio straight out from their body. That doesn't work. If you're talking on your radio and you're using an HT, get it up as high as you can, away from your head, if you can. Use a speaker mic if you can. But no matter what you do, hold it vertical. Hold the antenna vertical because that's where you're going to get your strongest signal up to the repeater. And I even go one step further. I try and, if I know where the repeater is, then I try and hold my antenna perpendicular to that antenna direction. And repeaters often add a short courtesy beep to the retransmitted signal when the transmitter station signal disappears. This useful feature becomes the over or cue that other stations might can start talking. Although saying over is common on repeaters as well, some radios have the capability to add their own courtesy beep, but it is not necessary and often confusing on a repeater with a courtesy beep enabled already. And I can't stress this enough. Listen for that courtesy beep. On a link system, it's almost essential because you could be getting somebody from a whole different place transmitting back on a network. And if you don't wait for that courtesy beep, you're not giving the network time to go down and then come back up with your transmission instead of his. If somebody else is using a repeater, you accidentally interrupt them, don't panic. Just say, sorry, W1AW clear, or KI0RE clear, and wait for their contact to end. This happened to me. We were having some bad weather, and I was having a QSO. I was talking to a friend of mine. I needed one more piece of information. And somebody caught on and said, I have some, not emergency traffic, how do you say it, priority traffic. And I said, go ahead. Well, he took over the entire repeater and started talking and then taking check-ins from everywhere. And when it finally died down, I said, I just need one more piece of information. Can I have the repeater back for just, oh, he said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you weren't. And so he let me have it. But it took me about, oh, I'd say 2 minutes, 3 minutes before he settled down and I had enough of a break. Another comment, you can have, it talks about bad batteries and, normal type of stuff. If you're doing everything the same way you did last week, only last week it was a really great signal, check your battery. Check to see that you're maybe two steps away. If you think about it, you're standing in a particular spot with the radio waves bouncing off of everywhere. You can very easily not get a signal and then move a half wavelength or a full wavelength and get a great signal. And I've seen it happen. Once you find a spot that they can hear you and you can hear them, stay there. Don't move the antenna around. Don't move the radio around. And it's kind of interesting to see this actually happen. But it's often, if you think about it, why do they call it the 2 meter band, 144 to 148? Because the wavelength is 2 meters. Well, that's roughly 6 feet and a few inches. So if you just move 3 feet one way or 6 feet one way or another, oftentimes you get a better signal. Think about that. If you're sure your signal is being received by the repeater but the stations don't respond, don't feel slighted. Remember that many hams use repeaters as a kind of on-the-air meeting place for club members. Sometimes they're not even on there. So don't worry about it. Wait until existing contact gets on there on random and then try and talk to them. This works especially well if you can discuss a topic that of their just concluded contact, a real conversation starter. In other words, listen first, then make your contact. Participating regularly in nets discussed later or other events on repeaters is also a good way to break in. The club that I belong to for years and years and I used to teach classes for is the Boulder Amateur Radio Club. Every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. local, which is about 2 hours behind Eastern time, so 2 hours from now, they will get on and they'll go through the list of people that want to talk on the radio a couple of times. I have a little bit of a problem hitting the repeater from way up here in Longmont. It's about 20 miles away, and it's not real high, but I can if I put the right antenna on my radio. And checking in every once in a while, maybe once or twice a month, I maintain the contacts. They remember who I am, and they remember that, oh, that's just that person up in Longmont. We know all about her. And I go on. Let's see, SSB, which is single sideband, CWN digital contacts. Because contacts on these modes generally don't use repeaters on fixed channels, finding and attracting other stations is done differently. To attract the attention of other stations, you have to make a call long enough for someone to tune their radio to your frequency and determine your call sign. This is done by calling CQ. CQ is procedural signal. That means I am calling any station. And if you think about it, there is a on the internet, there is a CQ, and it's seek you. When you think about it, when you put those two letters together, and you hear them all the time, and it's kind of got a rhythm to it. It's da 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 dit da 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 da. That's CQ. C is da 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 dit, and Q is da 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 da. So CQ is da 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 dit da 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 da, and it's very distinctive, that rhythm. You say it follow time. So you say CQ in code, CQ, 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 and then you give your call sign. You use the DE like I talked about before, and you give your call sign. But you can also say CQ, like the example in the book from W1AW. And just so you know, W1AW is a radio station in Connecticut where the ARRL's headquarters is. It is the station. And if you go visit that station up there in Newington, Connecticut, they will let you transmit on an appropriate band that you have a license for free. You just got to show up. Maybe you have to make it an appointment nowadays, because it. But they have visiting hams that transmit out of there all the time, so it's kind of interesting. And it gives some other things. It says there's one for CW. It's like CQ, 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 DE, W1AW, 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 and then a K on the end. K is a universal signal in Morse code that says, I'm done. And the reason it's another rhythmic thing that it's a da-da-da. And on the network here, I've told this before, so I'm repeating myself, but if you're on the main network repeater that covers 70% of Colorado, it says da da da. If you're on one of the far-flung repeaters that you're like over in Grand Junction across the Continental Divide, they all say da da da. So it's a longer K, and that's kind of like the end of the transmission. Use a transmitter. Before you call CQ, you should do three things. Be sure the frequency is one of your license privileges authorizes you to use, and the mode that you should be using it in according to the band plan. I'll add that. Listen to be sure the frequency is not already in use. If you don't hear any signals in 5 to 10, 30 seconds, the frequency may be available. Make short transmissions asking if the frequency is in use, and ongoing contact or activity may have paused, or you may not be able to hear the station currently transmitting. Simply asking is the frequency in use followed by your call sign is sufficient. As with the repeater context, if you accidentally interfere with or step on another, that's what they call it, is stepping on another contact, simply re-apologize and give your call sign and tune to another frequency, or wait until the frequency is clear. Oftentimes when people are calling into a net, two people will call at the same time. Well, FM repeaters can mostly capture the stronger signal, and they're not always one signal stronger than the other, and so you get a mixture sometimes. But these net control people can often hear somebody that they recognize, and so they'll write their call sign out because they're used to having that person on the net. And maybe you're the newbie, and so they give the other one, they say, I had a double there, Casey, the one that he just recorded, they stepped on you, go ahead and call the other station, go ahead and call now. So if he didn't say your call sign, it's your turn. And you tell them that you were back there too. Taking turns and breaking in. Once you've established, successfully joined, and initiated contact, you may find yourself in a friendly, extended conversation called a rag chew. And they don't say that as much now, but the rag chew is a term that's used sometimes, yes. If you're sharing the frequency of several other stations, that's a round table. And the idea of a round table is you go to the first person, you go to the next one, you go to the next one, and you just keep going in that form. That net that I talked about a few weeks ago, early in the morning, it was at 5 o'clock every morning. They made two trips around the table, and then everybody would log off. Once again, recalling that radio communications can't rely on visual cues, there are certain methods that hams use to control the flow of communications. The most common is the word over, or the procedural signal K for CW or digital. Hams learn not to begin speaking until the transmitting station stops or turns it over. That's why you should say over or send a K when you're ready for the other station to transmit, and you got to let it die. On that network, it's the Colorado connection. You have to let it die all the way. You'll hear the courtesy beep at the end. If you start transmitting right there, your signal isn't going to get through. You have to wait for the thing to de-link. Then you have to key up, and you go 1-1000, 2-1000 in your head before you start talking. That gives 2 seconds for the whole network to come up with your repeater as the one transmitting, whereas it might have been Grand Junction's repeater last time, and they're all listening to the signal from Grand Junction. You have to be prepared for that. Wait a few seconds or two. Get used to what it is locally and listen to what the hams tell you. Even the best procedure can't guarantee that two stations won't accidentally start transmitting at the same time. Because hams transceivers can't receive while transmitting, there's no way to know of simultaneous transmissions until one of your stations stop. And that's how you tell. I give my call sign and say KI0RE, and I let go of the transmit key. And I hear a station say Alpha Bravo or Victor Alpha. And what that tells me is they transmitted their whole signal, and I stepped on them. And because I unkeyed first, I'll let them take care of theirs, and then I'll go. And that's called doubling, when you double with somebody. At that point, the station that didn't make it through, or one of you talks and the other doesn't, you have to be kind of polite and let somebody else talk. Then there's simplex channels. It talks about those down here. Simplex channels, there is no repeater, so you're going direct from one transceiver to another transceiver. 146.52 is a simplex channel. Here, we don't want to rely on any repeaters. There's one church that conducts a net every Sunday night, and they do the net to cover a wide range, but they don't want to use any repeaters. And so it's all done on simplex on 144.495. 145.495. Now I can't remember for sure. Interesting network, and I've seen it work with Greeley to Denver, which is about 60 miles. But you got to have the right antennas, and the person has to have the right power. But on 14652, you want to make contact, but then you want to move it to a particular frequency. And you go off. So the example in here says, I'll meet you on 146.55. And so he goes over to the 55 repeater. That way it doesn't clog up 14652. That looks like a good place to stop. It is 1840, or for you guys, it's 2040. And I think we'll take using repeaters. We've already discussed some of this, but it goes into more detail on page 6-15. We'll pick it up there next week. Are there any questions, comments, criticisms, or toe jelly? Call now.
This is KC3HVA. A couple of comments and a question. Question first, your table with the propagation beacons. Are these a single beacon within your range that transmits on a single frequency, or is it transmitting on a band of frequencies? Does it select the best frequency for you to operate at, or does it pick the best direction? I wasn't clear on what you said. If you use it to determine.
There are both kinds. You get some that will transmit over several frequencies all at once, and it's transmit and wait. So the transmission might take 30 seconds. The code ones are very much like that. And then but a lot of them are just a single frequency because people want to get to that point, and they want to know when they can hear that beacon, they can use that frequency for that particular beacon. So it comes both ways. I don't know what the split is, whether there's more of the multi-frequency or just more of the just single frequency. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Next question. You think table 6-4 would be useful on the website? Stick it in there.
I think a link to the band plans at ARRL would be better. You can use that as an example. But since it's already up there, I think it's better to use what ARRL already has. And the one up on the net will be updated, whereas you'd have to buy a new book to get this one updated. Make sense?
Okay, yep. I didn't know there was a link to it. I'll look that up.
There is a link. It says go up there and look. Go ahead.
Okay. So that's pretty much it. There are some other tables that I think I'll link to that would be useful, and put them on the website as well.
Oh, super. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep.
And I guess we'll see everybody next week. This is KI0RE, Terry in Colorado, and this has been the NLA Hams Net. This net is held every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and everyone is welcome to join and talk about NLA or ham things. And the net is now closed. Thank you all very much.